So I know you've probably all had enough of it, but I want to start by talking about Brexit this morning. Avoiding being political in any way or giving any view on whether Brexit is a good thing or a bad thing, whether it should be soft or hard, whether it should happen or shouldn't happen at all, I want to reflect briefly on the effect this time of political uncertainty is having on the nation that we live in. There's no doubt that this is a time of division. I've heard this reflected in some conversations in cafes amongst my own family members and, of course, on Facebook as well. So many posts on Facebook, you've probably seen some of them. And actually, some of the things that I've heard people say have actually been quite horrible and quite horrific at times. And so this has been a time of division. It's also been a time of confusion. I don't know about you, but however much research I've done, I still can't understand what a backstop is, other than someone who stands behind the wickets in a cricket match. There have been so many terms used that the average person like myself, some of you may be a bit better than average, you might understand them, but the average person like myself has struggled to understand many of the terms that politicians have been using. There have been promises made by politicians, some of which have been questionable. Many people are confused about what they voted for and what the outcome is going to be. And the whole process has really led to confusion. I'm pretty sure that even the politicians themselves have been confused at times. For many people, this has been a time of uncertainty as well. Whilst we might try and make light of a difficult situation, and we do joke a little bit about Brexit, we have to recognise that for some people this is a time of despair that may actually have big consequences on their lives, on their businesses, on where they live. And so division, confusion, uncertainty and despair are four words that could be used to describe the impact that today's political situation has been having on this nation that we live in. That's not to mention the impact that our politics may be having on people throughout the EU and all around the world. Today on Palm Sunday, we reflect on this occasion of Jesus riding triumphantly on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. This entrance into the holy city was different to any other journey Jesus had made. He was making a very clear statement. Jesus was entering Jerusalem at a time of political uncertainty. The city and the nation were being ruled over by the Roman occupation in coalition with the religious leaders of the time. The people were being oppressed and controlled by the Romans, who were using the organized religion, the Jewish faith, as a tool for controlling the people. And for the average person living in Jerusalem, this would have been a really difficult time to live in. The words I used earlier of division and confusion and uncertainty and despair are most likely accurate descriptions of how the people of Israel would have felt at this time. Personally, I'd still rather live in Britain today than in first century Jerusalem under the control of the Roman army. The people of Israel at this time didn't know what to do or where to turn, but they did know that their Jewish faith and their understanding of Scripture told them that a Messiah was on his way to save them. And they attempted to make sense of the political situation of the times by believing that this Messiah that was coming was going to defeat the Roman army and restore control of their nation to their people, to the people of Israel. They believed that political change would bring about the peace they were looking for and would restore things to the way that they used to be. Reflecting on our political situation today, how many people cast their votes under the assumption that political change, whether leaving or remaining in the EU, would bring about some kind of greater peace or would make their own lives easier or better? Or perhaps, whether rightly or wrongly, there was a similar sense to the people of Israel of wanting their land back and wanting to regain control from outside influences. The people of Israel were looking for a political Messiah, someone who would bring peace to their nation by getting rid of the Roman outsiders and restoring things to how they used to be. What kind of Messiah or king or leader are we looking for today in our nation? For some, a political Messiah might be someone who can deliver on the promises of Brexit and free our nation from the perceived oppression of the EU. For others, our Messiah might be someone who can convince the government to revoke Article 50 and hold another referendum, enabling the possibility of remaining in the EU. For others, a Brexit Messiah might just be anyone who can get a deal to pass through Parliament. We all have opinions on what a resolution to the problems of today's political situation would be. We all have an idea of what would be best and what peace might look like. We all have an idea of which politician or leader might be best placed to deliver what the country needs at this time and to save us from the uncertainty that we're facing. But actually, how similar are we today to the people of Israel in the first century? In a time of political uncertainty, are we trusting in false messiahs, false leaders and authorities of this world to save us from the despair that we perceive that we're facing, from the political struggles that we face, rather than focusing on the one true Messiah, the one true Lord and King? Perhaps what we need is a Palm Sunday moment. We need Jesus to triumphantly enter once again into the frame, into our lives, into our nation, reminding us of where the real authority lies and showing us the true characteristics of the King. And so what does the authority of Jesus look like in comparison to the authorities of this world? Well, first of all, Jesus is the humble servant King. Following the recent terrorist attacks in New Zealand, a lot of praise was given to the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, for the way that she responded to that situation. We saw pictures of her meeting with the families of those who had been killed, wearing a headscarf as a sign of respect to the Muslim community. She sought to unite and bring the country together. She was very swift in bringing in stricter gun laws, seeking to minimise the chance of a similar event happening again. She was quick to remind people that this attack was not down to immigration or religion, but rather it was down to the evil actions of one or two individuals. Many comparisons were made between her leadership and the leaders of other nations who in similar circumstances have been quick to cast blame on others, quick to defend the use of weapons, and whose comments have been more divisive than uniting. I was quite encouraged and surprised by her leadership in this situation. There appear to be few politicians and rulers today who lead out of humility, who seek to serve, and whose desire is for peace and for unity. In comparison, there are many leaders whose first thought in times of crisis is to consider how they can maintain power and status and wealth. No one is perfect, and I'm not just putting the Prime Minister of New Zealand on a pedestal above all other leaders, but I think in this situation, she provided a good example of how a leader can have strength and authority whilst also serving others with care and respect. This is the kind of authority that Jesus showed constantly and consistently. Jesus was a humble, servant-hearted leader. In our Palm Sunday reading, we hear about Jesus riding into Jerusalem, receiving praise from all the people. They waved palm leaves, they laid down their clothes on the floor in front of him and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." This was the kind of welcome that would have been given to a king. But Jesus also makes a very clear statement about his kingship, about how he does authority, how he leads. Any other king of Israel would have ridden into the city on the back of the biggest horse they could find and would have been clothed in armour. But Jesus rides in on the back of a donkey, a humble animal, an animal that's known as a beast of burden that carries and serves. and an animal that's never been ridden into battle. A donkey is a symbol of humility and service and peace. And so by entering in this way, Jesus is making a statement about his rule, his leadership, that he is humble, that he's there to serve, and he's there to bring peace. Jesus allows people to recognize his power and authority as king, but he also uses this opportunity to show what real leadership looks like, that he was unlike any other king Jerusalem had ever seen. He had come to bring peace. He'd come to serve other people. He'd come not to fight, but to die. Jesus completely turns our understanding of a king and a leader and a Messiah upside down and inside out. Our other passage from Colossians supports the contrast between the authority of Jesus and his desire to serve and to save and to sacrifice himself for others. In this passage, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." This passage shows the power and authority and supremacy of Jesus alongside his desire to reconcile, to make peace, even if that means serving or sacrificing his own life in the process for the people that he is there to serve. I think Jesus' leadership can be summed up quite well in this picture. The sign above his head reads, "Jesus, King of the Jews, dying on the cross because of his love for us, a king who came to die for his people." That is what the true king, the true leader, and the true Messiah looks like. But as well as being the humble servant king, Jesus is also Lord of all. A large amount of the campaign to leave the EU and many of the discussions since have been around immigration and curbing the free movement of people into the United Kingdom. A phrase that I've heard repeatedly over the past couple of years is that we need to retake control of our borders. There's a sense that this is our nation, our kingdom, and we are the people who can say who is in and who is out. That we have sovereignty, that's another word that's been used a lot, and a divine claim over this land. Contrast this with a much greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches that all people are welcome in his kingdom. The Israelites were similar to us, perhaps. They praised Jesus as their Messiah because they thought he would get rid of the Romans, that he'd kick them out of their land. They had a sense of divine right. We are God's people. We are living in the land that God has given us. What right do these Romans have to come and be here and show us how to live? A few years ago, I was on holiday with my parents in Austria. It was actually quite a few years ago now. And we were queuing up to enter into a tourist attraction. And my mum got talking to this woman. And the woman asked where my mum was from. And she responded, "We're from Wales, from God's own country." And the woman replied, "Actually, I think I can beat you there. I'm from Israel." There is this sense amongst the entire human race that we have some kind of divine right, that we are the people who belong to God, or that we have been given a particular piece of this earth and it belongs to us. We can police it and decide who's in and who's out. Jesus surprises the Israelites when he doesn't play their games. As Holy Week progresses, it becomes very apparent that Jesus isn't the Messiah that they'd expected. He wasn't going to overthrow the Romans and kick them out of Israel. Actually, quite the opposite happened. They arrested him and put him to death on the cross. You see, Jesus wasn't interested in human games and fighting over which bit of land belongs to who. I doubt Jesus even recognized borderlines between different countries. In Psalm 24, it says, "The whole earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And again, in that passage from Colossians that we read earlier, it tells us that he created all things, that everything belongs to him. All rulers, all powers, all authorities, everything was created by him and for him. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the whole world and all who live in it. Jesus didn't come to defeat the Romans, he came to save them. Jesus teaches that no one is excluded from his kingdom. In Galatians chapter 3, we read this from verse 26. "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Jesus didn't come for one nation or for one group of people, but he came to expand the kingdom and to welcome everyone into it. Jesus is Lord and King of Israel and of Rome. Jesus is Lord of Jew and Gentile. Jesus is Lord of slave and free. Jesus is Lord of the EU, of the UK and the EU. Jesus is Lord of those who voted Remain and those who voted to leave. And as we read in those passages from Galatians and Colossians, we are all made one in Christ Jesus. No matter what our differences are, we are all made one in Christ Jesus because he came to make peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is not the Messiah of some or leader of the few. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the earth is his and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And then a final characteristic of the authority of Jesus as King and Messiah is that he doesn't force his kingdom upon anyone, but he invites us to enter into it. At the risk of making this the most controversial sermon that I've ever preached, you will have seen recently in the news about Shamima Begum, the British woman who went to Syria and married an ISIS fighter and is now asking to be allowed back into the UK. Again, I'm giving no political stance on whether she should be allowed back into the UK, and I certainly don't agree with or condone her actions. But this does pose an interesting question in regards to Jesus welcoming us into his kingdom, particularly when we consider the parable of the prodigal son, in which the son goes away and indulges in wild and selfish living, only to be welcomed home and actually thrown a party. Without giving an opinion on her citizenship of the UK, actually, if she were to repent and turn to Jesus, I am certain that she would be welcomed into his kingdom. The reason for this is because we are all welcome and all invited into God's kingdom, despite our imperfection and our sin. Jesus welcomes all of us. That's why he died on the cross, that we may be forgiven and restored. As our passage from Colossians tells us, Jesus came to reconcile to himself all things through making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The next part of the passage from Psalm 24 that I started reading, after the bit about the earth belonging to the Lord and the world belonging to him, it goes on to say, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has a clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from their Saviour. Jesus died so that even the worst of sinners can be vindicated, made clean, saved, and welcomed home into his kingdom. There's no citizenship test to pass, and no visa needed. All are welcome. But entering into the kingdom of God still involves a choice on our part. It's an invitation. We're welcome. Jesus is welcoming all of us, but we have to also welcome him into our lives. One of my favorite pictures is this one by Holman Hunt, based on the passage from Revelation where it says, "I stand at the door and knock. If you choose to open the door, I will come in and eat with you and you with me." This is Jesus knocking on the door, wanting to be a part of our lives, and in doing so, welcoming us into his kingdom. But in this picture, there isn't a handle on the outside of the door. Jesus can't let himself in. And this implies that the only way Jesus can be a part of our lives is for us to welcome him in. Jesus's authority isn't a dictatorship. We're not forced or controlled to do anything that is against our will. God wants us to choose a relationship with him because relationships have to be a choice. He wants to be welcomed into our lives, and he wants us to choose to be a part of his kingdom. How do we do that? Well, we repent and we turn from our sin. We welcome Jesus into our lives as our Lord and Saviour. And we choose to live our lives in the service of his kingdom. They're the three things that we ask people when they get baptized. And so what does the authority of the true Messiah and the true King look like, perhaps in comparison to the authority of those in the world around us? Well, Jesus is first of all the servant King. Jesus is Lord of all, not just over some people. And Jesus welcomes everyone into his kingdom if we choose to be a part of it. So where does this leave us today on Palm Sunday in 2019? I'm not sure Jesus would actually be that interested in Brexit and in disputes over which bit of land belongs to who. In the same way that he wasn't that interested in overthrowing the Roman government. What I am sure of is that Jesus' desire was to bring shalom, to bring wholeness and peace in this world, for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. His heart was to bring unity where there was division, to bring peace where there was confusion, to be a rock in uncertain times and to provide hope in times of despair. Jesus' desire was to bring the kingdom of God here to earth, a kingdom over which he reigns and in which every single person is welcome. That's why Jesus entered into Jerusalem at the start of Holy Week, because he was on a journey towards the cross. His destination there was death, but his mission was to save the world, that we may have life in all its fullness. My prayer for this nation and for our world is that Jesus would be our rock, bringing unity, hope, and peace through his blood shed on the cross. And I pray that this Easter, we not only know the saving power of his grace, but that we would know the life-giving power of his resurrection. And I pray once again that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.